Let's remain in the presence of God. Tonight's word from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Filipeni, capitolul 2, versetele 5, începem de la 5 până la 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and those of earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. He humbled himself. Praise God. Are you ready to humble yourself tonight? Amen. Humble yourself in worship. Humble yourself in prayer. Just a couple of short announcements before getting into the word here. There is a mission trip coming up to Mexico. The dates are October 3rd and the 5th. Mexico mission trip, please sign up by next Sunday, we ask you. August 25th, that's next Sunday. Please sign up for those of you who want to go on the Mexico mission trip. Please also talk to Brother Alex Pope, who is coordinating this trip. So if you are interested, please reach out to him after tonight's service. Also for the young families, we will have a picnic on September 21st. In an apple orchard here, not too far from here, in the presence of God, and sign up if you can tonight with Sister Gokan, Anka and Radu, the family, young families, and praise God for everything and everything that happens in the house of God. Tonight's message that God has put on my heart has been something that's been heavy on me for the past few weeks, which is a message about humility, about humbling ourselves. Humble yourself. Let this mind be in you, Paul says. This mind that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. He humbled himself. Paul is teaching an attitude for the church. You know, he starts out by saying, any virtue, any joy, any love, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each esteem others better than himself. Nu faceți nimic, în românește, din duh de ceartă sau de slavă de șartă, ci în smerenie fiecare să privească pe altul mai presus, mai presus de el însuși. Just think about that for a second. Think about if that was real. If you really did that. If we saw other people here better than ourselves, better than yourself, bigger than yourself. This is the mind of a servant, to think of others in a better than yourselves. Think of what would happen in your home. Think of that. If you thought of yourself as a servant, what would the relationship be between you and your wife and your husband, your children? Paul wants to teach a culture in the church. You know, every group has a culture. And the culture that Paul is saying that should be the culture of the church is the DNA of Christ. The DNA of Christ. Esteeming one another above yourselves. But not the type of humility that is outwardly manifested. You know, like the kind that is easily seen and heard. Like, no, brother, don't mention my name. It's okay. It's a humility that comes from the heart. The need not to be seen. Să nu fi văzut. Nu ai nevoia să fii văzut, să citească numele. Să fie numele tău pus undeva pe o placă. Right? Humility in the spirit. Waking up in the morning and saying, who can I bless today? How would that be? If you woke up every morning and said, I wonder who's is going to come my way that I can bless. Or coming to church, thinking that. I'm coming to church to think, how can I bless somebody at church today? How can I be a blessing? If people were really humble, if we were really humble. We live in a world that does not like humility because it's seen as weakness. But you can be humble without having low self-esteem. You know, most people with low self-esteem, they're trying to hide something that is a deep insecurity within them. And they hide it with arrogance, with pride. And beneath it all is a vulnerability. You have to be strong to be humble. You have to be secure in yourself to be humble. You know who you are. You know who you are in Christ. You have to be secure in that understanding. Insecure people always need validation, and they're always looking for recognition. Constant validation. But if you're strong in your humility, humility is a strength, not a weakness, brothers and sisters. You have to be strong to get into an argument with someone, to know exactly what it is that you have to say to make them quiet. And yet, you don't say it. That's humility. Să știi ce să spui ca să tacă din gură și nu spui cuvântul ăla și nu-i arunci replica, pentru că e mai greu să taci când știi că ai dreptate, nu? It's so difficult to be quiet when you know that you're right and you want to be right. You have to be strong. You have to know who you are. You have to realize who you are, and you don't need other people to tell you who you are because you're secure within. You're secure within. You know, someone once came to me and said, you know, it's easier for you because you're the son of a minister. And, you know, God called you into ministry and it's in your family. And it's, you know, I was a sinner, this young man said to me. And I did a lot of bad things in my life. You know, God called me to the church to just atone for my sins by serving people like you and to serve others. And I said to him, you got to stop right here. You got it all mixed up because you look at me as someone bigger than you. But in the church, there's only one open position, and that is the position of a servant. You think that I'm up here and that you are down here. But there is no up here. There's only one master. And his name is Jesus. And he has made of all of us a servant. So you're nothing more than serving a servant. If you're coming here to serve, you're serving a servant. If you're serving the pastor, you're serving a servant. If you're serving the church, that's what you're doing. It's just a bunch of servants serving other servants. There is no master, brothers and sisters. It is Jesus. He is the only one. And the only open position in the church is a servant. If you want to take it, it's open. Only one mastered. Think about Jesus and the humility of Christ from birth, where people were locking the doors to the hotels, to the to the ends, but Jesus chose a manger. He chooses the barn. This is the likeness of Christ, choosing the barn. And we think, you know, God shuts down all the hotels, all the places of luxury, so that he can open up the barn. And you think, wow, what is God thinking? He could have ushered in the kingdom, and this is what most people of that time thought, that he would come high up on a mighty, in a mighty welcoming parade to take over Israel, to become king. And yet he chooses the manger. How many times have the hotel rooms been locked up in your life? And you thought, every door is shutting in my life. Se închide fiecare ușă parcă pe la care dau. And then something opens up in your life, and you're like, what is this? This barn? This manger? What is this? That's not what I asked for. That's not what I prayed for. That's not what was prophesied over me. That's not what I believed in. And here it is, a manger. And God says, here is where you will begin to serve. Here's where I will raise you up. Here's where I will do the mighty work in humility, in humbleness, because that is the way God works. You know, God likes to work with little people. We all want to be in charge, and we like being promoted, and we like being recognized. But the Lord likes to work with little people. Remember Naaman, the great commander. Remember that who God used to heal him. The Bible calls her a little maid, the little girl, the little maid. Doesn't even have a name, but yet she is magnified in front of an entire people, and she remains in the scriptures because God used her. God used her, a nameless little maid, a nameless little girl, to heal Naaman. And Naaman has to learn also the lesson of humility, because he goes and he expects to be treated like what his position is. And God says, no, you must go lower. Ca să urci, trebuie să cobori. Mai jos, Naamane. Lower. And he goes once, and he goes, no, it's not enough. Lower. It's not enough. Lower. 7 times lower. Until God begins to work. God begins to work. Don't be afraid when God bypasses the hotel and takes you into a barn, because God has a way of turning the barn into a palace for a king. Don't be afraid when God tells you to go lower, to take another dip and go yet lower, because the healing is soon, coming soon. The lower you go, the closer you are. The lower you go, the closer you are. I understand I'm not going to get a lot of amens and hallelujahs on this message. It's about humility. It's about being humble. And it's okay. Because I want us to walk away tonight knowing where we are in God, and that he is greater than us, greater than our pride. And sometimes we miss it because of our pride. Proverbs 11:2 says that when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. With the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride, this is something that we all know, a verse we all know. Și pe românește o știm pe de rost. Mândria, right, merge înaintea pieirii. Pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before the fall. You know, every sin, when augmented with pride in your life, is a lot deeper and bigger. Pride makes the pain of hatred sharper. Pride makes the lust greener. It makes the blade of anger worse. What is pride? Pride is the idolatry of self. God hates pride. Why does God hate pride? Have you asked yourself? It is the idolatry of self. It is looking at yourself and saying, everything I need, everything I desire, everything I am is self self-contained. It's right here. Self-assured, self-esteem, self-help. Are these familiar to any of you? Self-awareness, self, selfies, self. We live in the dictatorship of the self, I would say. The idolatry of the self. Me, myself, and I. And what is the devil trying to do? The devil is trying to separate you, first of all, from God. But the devil is trying to separate you from community as well. To tell you that you are an island in and of yourself. And if people don't get you, if people don't understand you, you just go out and leave and be by yourself because it's better. Be by yourself. And that's what the devil tries to do with us. Separate us from the church. Separate us from God. Be alone. Be by yourself. And how terrible it is to be with ourselves. Isn't it? It's not a pleasant thing to be with yourself all the time. But yet there we are in the idolatry of the self. Pride. See, we often think of pride as, oh, somebody is like proud. You know, they are arrogant. They're driving in a Lamborghini through the church parking lot and they're dressed in an Armani suit and that's pride. But you know, there's all sorts of pride. There is the pride of power, yes. There's the pride of power and money. And what is that? It's power that's taken away from the delegator of power. Where does your power come from? Who gave you that power? When you're proud and you have the power of pride in your life, the pride of power in your life, you credit yourself for all the executive decisions that you've made. I hire the best team, right? I surround myself with the best people. I take on the best projects. I know what I'm doing. The pride of power. I make these executive decisions. I'm a great decision maker. When you take away the power away from the delegator, which is God, you start to abuse power. You're answerable to God, first and foremost. So don't use power to abuse others. If you're put in charge of something, you're the head. And he gave you the power to cover, not to abuse. All heads should be coverings. You know what we need in our church today and in our society? We need more heads that are coverings. We have too many heads that don't cover. They're all by themselves. Lord, send heads that cover the family. Lord, send heads that cover the children. Lord, send heads that cover our daughters and our sons. And that cover our church. If you're a head, you're a cover. Be a cover. Be a cover to your wife. Be a cover to your daughters. I told Annabelle, who's now a high schooler, do not bring any boys at our house. Because you will force me to buy a shotgun. Which I don't want to do. Be a cover. You're not going to bring anybody into my house. And as long as you're under my roof, you are under my cover. And that is exactly what God wants us to be like. It's not an authoritarian figure that says you can't move, you can't do nothing. You are under my cover. You know, I met with, last week I had the privilege to meet with a diplomat from Saudi Arabia, a young woman, very modern. I was quite surprised that Saudi Arabia, of course, would send to the United States a very modern kind of, you know, very educated, the pharmacist, the medical doctor on top of everything. And she said to us, she said, we were in the discussion about Saudi Arabia, she said, you guys look from the West at Saudi Arabia and you laugh and you say that, well, the women in Saudi Arabia are under a great deal of oppression because they couldn't drive until very recently. They can't do this, they can't do that without their father's permission or without their husband's permission. But she said, if you would go and you would ask, if you would go to Saudi Arabia and you would go and ask women there, well, how do they feel about that? You'd be surprised to find that we are okay with being taken care of. We're okay with the fact that men are driving us around, the fact that we are protected, the fact that we have a cover, because we live under a society that has a principle of a covering. And that's something that we don't embrace here anymore. Actually, we reject it. Why should a man be the cover of anything or of anybody? Why should you as a mother be the cover of your children? Why? And of your household. Everybody needs to do whatever they feel like it. You're right, self-actualization. Husbands, take away the pride of power, the pride of money. Maybe you're the one that's dealing with the finances and everyone is slaving behind you, everyone in your household. And you've got all the power. Use it to cover, not to abuse. Every time God picks you up, you ought to look around and say, who can I pick up with me? Every time you get into a higher position and you get promoted at work, you should be looking around and asking yourself, who can I pick up with me? Who can I take with me? How many people think like that? When you get successful, you forget about others. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. Show me someone that needs to come in a little bit higher. Show me someone that needs to be promoted. Show me somebody in the church that needs just a little bit of encouragement and watch them take off. One of the things that God has been telling me in my life is that He wants me to launch rockets. And by that, the Lord is telling me you need to help other people younger than yourself to reach their full potential. And I'm thinking, no, I'm 37 years old. I haven't reached my full potential. But yet God is asking me to do that. That's because that's what God wants you to do. Lift others up with you. Older people, cei mai în vârstă de aici din sala aceasta, vorbesc dumneavoastră. Pe cine ți-a pus Domnul pe inimă să ridici? Să ajuți să se ridice puțin în viață. Sunt foarte mulți tineri aici, foarte multe familii mai tinere, au nevoie de dumneata, au nevoie de sfatul dumitale. Pentru că voi ați trecut prin ce am trecut noi. Noi încă n-am trecut prin ce ați trecut dumneavoastră. Așa este? Pe cine? Cum folosești puterea pe care o ai? Maybe you think, oh, I don't have much power. I don't even get involved in church. I have no responsibility. But you do. You do. You have power. No one is powerless, brothers and sisters. It's just how you use it. And the pride of power and how you use it. There's the pride of knowledge that comes through intellectualism and education. And look at all the technological advances and all the advances in knowledge we've had, and we still can't get along. Think of learning, sometimes we use that as a personal advertisement. You make sure that you list your degrees, you should be proud of your accomplishments. But knowledge in and of itself, and the pride of knowledge, no one knows better than me. No one is smarter than me. I am an authority in this field. What does the Bible say? That the knowledge of God, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes getting smart gets you far away from God. I went one time to a Bible seminary, and I had a little bit of a coffee with a young guy who was about to graduate, and he said, I asked him, I said, do you feel like you know more about God now that you are about to graduate seminary? I was so blown away by the answer he gave me. He said to me, I came here with 1,000 questions. And now I leave with 100,000 questions. I am more confused now than when I first started seminary. Knowledge, brothers and sisters, without understanding, without the Spirit of God, without humility, without humbleness, does not get you closer to God. Knowledge alone. Even the devil knows. Și diavolul știe și se înfioară. Știe mai mult decât noi. Mai multă scriptură decât noi. Mai multă istorie decât noi. Și cunoștința asta diavolului nu-l ajută la nimic. Îl ajută ca să te atace pe tine. But knowledge alone won't save you and won't help you get closer to God. Whatever knowledge you get, don't put God out of your mind. Because real wisdom comes from humbling yourself and knowing that God knows more than you. And you know what? That's a relief that God knows more than you. There's the pride of holiness. There's the pride of goodness. You know, sometimes the worst kind of proud person is a person that's proud, that's a holy pride. A mândrie spirituală, zicem noi. Holy pride. Holier than thou self. You know, people that are too worldly can't get in my circle. You're not listening to the right sermons. You're not reading the right books. So you're out of the circle because you're not as holy. You're not as caught up with things. You're not in prayer. I don't see you, so that means you're probably not connected to God. The pride of holiness. And you come to church and you judge other people based on how they look, based on how they dress. You know, that woman, she may smell like Chanel and she may dress like a model, but if she's open with her heart to Jesus, she'll walk away hand in hand with Jesus and you'll walk away with nothing. Why? Because you sit in judgment of other people and you can't open your heart. Humble yourself before God. The pride of holiness, the pride of goodness. I am better than others. You know, two men walk into a temple, Jesus says, and one says, oh, thank God that I'm not like him, right? And there's another one that beats his chest and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. And if you're that kind of person, there is mercy for you tonight. Be humble. I want to look at, finally, a couple of characteristics of a humble person. There's two things that I want us to take away in the last 4 minutes of our time together tonight. Romans 8:21. I know this is not a shouting sermon, but the Lord will impress on us. There's two things. Romans 8:21 says, Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. We know. Paul starts saying, this is what we know. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, have we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together, we can all say it now, for the good of those who love God. Right? We know that we love this verse. We quote it often. To those who are called according to his purpose. And we know. There are three things that happen here between this verse. There are three knows, knowns, or three. Now we know. We start by knowing. In the middle, we know not. We do not know. And then we end with, and we know. And it's kind of like life itself is encapsulated in this passage. And we know. The young people, they know. They know. Ask a young person, if you really want to see somebody that's full of knowledge, talk to a young person. They know everything. My daughter, who just started high school and who's going to hate me for giving this example, said to me, I was talking to her about high school, and she said to me, "Dad, you don't know," I was waiting for this all my life, "you don't know what high school is like. You don't know." I said, "Annabelle, come on. They still teach goat herding, don't they? Like they did in my days." She said, "You don't know what high school is like in the 21st century. When you're young, you think you know. You know. Știi totul. You know." When I was 16 years old and I got my hands on a car, I came out here to Southern California. I was coming to the Mission One conferences. If those of you remember the Mission One conferences. I had this little, small Toyota Corolla. I was doing 120 miles an hour on the 105. Because you know why? Because I knew. I knew that I was invincible. At 19 years old, I got in my first car wreck, mangled in an SUV that they had to use the jaws of life to pull me out. Saved by God's grace and a miracle working power. And then I said, "I don't know. I don't know." Being humble is being able to say, "I don't know. I know not." Last year, I woke up and my wife was in bed and she couldn't get up. She couldn't move. And I was about ready to go to work and I knew that the kids had to be taken to school. She era înțepenită la spate and she could not move. She had a compression of the disc and we didn't know what it was. And she was crying, and I never seen her in so much pain. And I said, "I don't know how to pray." In my mind, I did not know how to pray for her. I prayed for others. I came here at Emmanuel Church. I prayed for people to get healed. I prayed for other people's problems. And now it was my wife, and I couldn't pray. And I didn't know how to pray. And I said to God, "I don't know. I know not." And I was asking the Lord why. Because God was trying to show me what it means to be humble. What it means to be humble is to say that you don't know. And that He knows. And He has all the power. And He is the source. He is the source. He is the source of your position. He is the source of your health. He is the source of your beauty. He is the source of your intelligence. He is the source of your income, wherever it's coming from. He is the source of your church. He is the source of your family. And being humble is being able to say, "I don't know. And I am not the source, but you are." We know not. And the second thing, the last thing is, being humble means to come to worship. You know, when we worship, what happens is we let God be on the throne. And we say, "We are not on the throne anymore. You are on the throne." And we get off of our throne and we go on the cross. And He gets off of the cross and He goes on the throne. And that is true worship, brothers and sisters. Get off of your throne to worship. Otherwise, every time you come here, it's going to be nothing but a show. And you're going to feel like everything that we do up here is a show. Stop watching. Stop watching. Stop coming to church to watch. Get off of your throne and start worshiping. When you worship, you let God be in charge. That is the heart of true worship. That is the heart of true worship. It is about changing the position in your life. letting him be on the throne. Let us stand up for prayer tonight. You know, God wants to make a reference out of your life. He wants you to become a reference point. You know, it's being said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he wants to be known as the God of Gog, the God of Druhora, the God of Olario, the God of Valian. Amen? Let's humble ourselves. Let's say, God, we are not in charge. We are prideful. In our own way, we are prideful. We are too proud sometimes to admit that we're wrong. We are too proud to get off of our throne and let him be in charge. Whatever your situation is tonight, he wants to be the Lord of your life, the Lord of your situation. And he wants you to get off of the throne and let him be on the throne. Humble yourselves and say, I know not. I know not what you have for me tomorrow. There's a beautiful Romanian song. Nu pot ști ce fi va mâine, însă știu că Dumnezeu se îngrijește și de mine, căci și eu sunt fiul său. Amin?